Life Audio.
Faith Over Fear is brought to you by Life Audio and is part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Faith Over Fear podcast, where we attack our most pervasive fears with truth, because life's just too short for any of us to live enslaved. I'm Ava Pennington.
And I'm Jennifer Slattery.
And here at Faith Over Fear, we're passionate about helping God's children discover, embrace, and live in freedom. We'd love to connect with you online or on social media. Just visit our show notes to learn how to connect with us. So today, we're continuing our series of episodes on the life of Abraham. And actually, Jennifer, I think this is our final episode in that series.
Absolutely. That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so as we examine the various fears he's experienced and how God met them with grace and love, we've now come to our final episode.
Yes, many of us probably know the pain of living outside of God's will. And we might still be experiencing the effects of poor choices that we've made decades prior. And hopefully, we've also experienced the joy, the peace, the freedom that comes from living deeply connected to Christ and dependent on Him and led by Him. And as a result, we want to see our loved ones, our friends, and our family avoid the pain that we experienced from living according to our own plans, our own ideas. And we want to see them experience the thriving life that Scripture promises to those who remain in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. The problem is sometimes in our fear, we can become overly pushy, and then we can create increased barriers between someone else and God, or we can lean the other way. And we can be so afraid that we're going to push someone away from Christ that we don't speak truth when we should. And both scenarios indicate that we don't trust God to know how best to reach our loved one. And it can also indicate that we have tried to take on power and authority that doesn't belong to us, that belongs to Jesus Christ, because only He can transform someone's heart and only He can draw them into an intimate relationship with Himself.
And I find that that's even more difficult, or I've found actually that it's even more difficult when you're in an intimate relationship with that person, because you are living with them day by day and interacting with them day by day, and you see them in their most vulnerable condition and you want what's best for them and you want it so badly for them. I can remember the situation with my husband, Russ. I became a Christian when I was a teenager and really wasn't well discipled because nobody else in my family was saved and had that relationship with the Lord. And I ended up getting married very young. I got married at the age of 20. And about 3 years after I got married, I rededicated my life to the Lord and I got serious about discipleship and growing and reading the Bible. And my poor husband, who was the sweetest, kindest, gentlest man, but didn't really have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So he suddenly, the poor guy suddenly had this religious fanatic on his hands and he didn't know quite what to do with me. So I spent the next probably 35 years praying for his salvation, to come to know Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, not just the God that's out there, but the God that's in here. And it was hard because there were times I was so eager that I would come home from church. I can't wait for you to hear this message. It's such a good message. And I would think as I was driving home, I would think, this is the message that's going to change him. And this is the message that's going to change his heart. And so I took that responsibility of him coming to the Lord. I took that on my own shoulders. And that was not my burden to carry. And it wasn't my responsibility. And there were times when that created some stress because it kind of turned into a little bit of nagging and preaching. And I had to be really careful to realize and to recognize, hey, wait a minute. If God's the only one who can change a heart, why am I trying so hard to change his heart? And that was a real wake-up call for me to just love him and to live out my faith and answer the questions he had when he had them, but not to keep pushing it on him. And that's a real fine line to walk, to know how much is sharing out of love and how much is, well, I've crossed the line and I'm pushing and I'm nagging because I fear for him.
Absolutely. Now, did you experience increased peace when you're like, okay, this isn't my responsibility, Lord, I recognize this is your role?
It was huge. Absolutely, Jennifer, because suddenly I was not carrying a burden that I shouldn't have been carrying to begin with. And that was really big. It doesn't mean I didn't live out my faith. And as a Bible teacher, the poor guy, I mean, I tested messages on him, but not to preach. I was very careful to ask, you know, hey, I'm going to be speaking here or doing this or teaching on that. Do you mind if I kind of work it out on you a little bit and test it on you and see how this sounds? And when it was done in that spirit, he was absolutely more than willing to be my guinea pig. But he knew when I was doing it in that spirit or when I was doing it as a backdoor to preach on him.
Yeah, it sounds like you honored him as a person, able to make his own decisions and ask his own questions, which that probably spoke love to him in a really powerful way.
Yeah, it took me a long time to get there, though. But we did get there. We were married for 40 years, and it was a good marriage. And our listeners may not know, but he passed away 4.5 years ago. And okay, spoiler alert, he did come to know Christ.
Praise God.
Yeah. About 1.5 years before he died. And in fact, went out and became this enthusiastic witness, telling everybody and anybody he could find about how trusting Jesus makes such a difference in your life. So I got to see that, and that was a real gift for me. But I had to trust God's timing, right? It wasn't done in my time.
Mm-hmm. And scripture tells us, and sometimes we just need to remind ourselves that God does reveal himself and he does love every human that he has created. And his desire is that everyone would have a relationship with him. When we remember that his heart is for our loved ones and our friends, I think that makes it easier. And today's episode, it's really surprising if you remember some of Abraham's journey. At least to me, it's a little surprising because we've seen such transformation in him from in the beginning. It seemed like he often gave into fear. And when he gave into his fear, he would rely on his own wisdom, on his own strength, on his own plans, and many times didn't seem to really even seek God's plans. And we saw that created a lot of pain. I mean, he lost one son, his firstborn, Ishmael. And I have to think that what he did in Genesis 12 and Genesis 20, when he betrayed his wife, that probably created long-term pain in their marriage and broke some of the foundation of their marriage. And so I just wonder if at this point in his journey, if he's reflected on, okay, when I put my hands in things without following God's guidance, everything becomes a mess. And if that impacted what we see occur in Genesis chapter 24, which we're going to be discussing today. Ava, would you mind reading verses 1-8 of that passage?
Sure. Abraham was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the senior servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant asked him, "What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from?" "Make sure that you do not take my son back there," Abraham said. "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there."
Wow. And so that is a big transformation from some of the things that we've seen, some of his behavior in the past. And this is a big deal. Like if you have children, or even if you've wanted to get married yourself, you know what a big deal your spouse, like that has a major impact on your life, on your belief system, on your source of happiness and fulfillment. So much is connected to that. So I can just picture how important this was to Abraham.
Well, yeah, because he's remembering this covenant God made with him, that God was going to give him land and descendants that were innumerable. And from Abraham's perspective, well, the only way that was going to happen is through Isaac. And Isaac isn't even married yet, never mind a father. So yeah, that would be something I would think he would be very concerned about.
And a lot of time had passed, hadn't it?
Yeah, by this point, Isaac is somewhere between 37 and 40 years old, which is kind of old. I mean, back then, they got married a little younger. Now, the man was usually older than the wife, but still, 40 years old, Sarah's is dead already at this point. So it's just Abraham and Isaac. And he didn't seem to be in much of a hurry to see Isaac get married.
Yeah, I kind of wonder about that. Was it because did he not find someone in Canaan that he felt like was a good fit? Did God say to him specifically, hey, I want you to go get someone from your homeland, from the place of your relatives? And we don't know all of that, but we do know he says, hey, I don't want you to marry him. I don't want him to marry one of the Canaanites. And I think it's interesting. It was customary in that time period and in that culture for parents to choose spouses for their children. And it almost seems like when you first read this passage that Abraham is doing that. And yet scholars suggest his actions were actually a way of allowing God to choose a wife for Isaac. And I don't know whether that was Abraham's intent or not, but we do know from how the story unfolds, that's exactly what happened. And that's what makes this story so very beautiful.
Well, especially when you look at Abraham's confidence. He will send his angel before you. You will. This is something that he was absolutely certain God would do. And if for some reason God chose not to, Abraham was willing to say, well, doesn't matter. You don't bring him there. You're released. So in some ways, Abraham was trying to find a wife for his son. But in other ways, he was still trusting God that, hey, if this didn't work, that's okay. Hands off. I'm going to trust God to figure this out.
And you know, one thing that strikes me, when we look at how the story unfolds and we consider it with the promises that God made prior, we can see that God had some, from my perspective, some specific reasons for Abraham and his family remaining in the land of Canaan. And God had called him previously a prophet. And I, being right in the land of Canaan, there would have been a lot of merchants traveling through there, which that would have allowed Abraham to fulfill the part of the covenant where he would be a blessing to many nations. So basically, he could reveal God, the one true God, to all of these pagan nations and merchants coming in through Canaan and then going out. And my point with that, we don't know God. We know what he reveals in scripture, but there's a lot that we just don't know about the mind of God. And your story, when you talked about Russ, you had no way of knowing, one, he was going to get cancer. And first of all, I do have to say that I'm really sorry. I know that was really painful. But you also didn't know that he would come to faith at such a pivotal time, right? And that he would be such a witness for Jesus Christ. And maybe had you known that in your early years, maybe it would have been easier to trust, or maybe it would have been harder to wait. I don't know. But sometimes we can have in our mind what we think our children's journey or a friend's journey or our spouse's journey should look like. And God often has, I mean, he has his reasons for his timing and his ways and when and how he reveals himself and draws people to himself.
Well, and I love that you're focusing in on the timing because, you know, God's timing isn't the same as ours. So the part of the covenant where he promised Abraham that Abraham would be a blessing to all these nations. He wasn't just talking about in his daily interactions. He was talking about the promised Messiah who would come. But how many thousands of years later would that come about? So often we grasp God's promises and we put our timetable on them instead of trusting God. As somebody once told me a long time ago, that trusting God means trusting his timing. Easy for me to trust God, not so easy for me to trust his timing. And yet you really cannot separate the two. And that includes how God is working in those around us, the people we love. Do we trust his timing? Do we trust that as much as we love them, God loves them more and that he is working out his purposes and his plans? And so there's that delicate balance between doing our part and trusting God for the results. And right. I'll confess, sometimes I walk that tightrope really well, and other times I don't.
Right. You talked about how sometimes God uses us and sometimes he uses other means. We see that in this story as well, right? Like Abraham sent his servant. So Abraham did his part. And I have a sense that he probably had heard from God just by his wording in when you read in the passage, what you had read, verse 7. I get the sense that Abraham was following God's will. And so he did his part and then he entrusted the rest to his servant and the servant did his part. And we may not be the person to speak to our loved one about a certain matter. We may not be the person that leads them to faith or that says the right words that's going to help them break free from their addiction or seek help in their depression, whatever it is. But that again is trusting God's heart as well and saying,
and I love how whether Abraham knew it or not, his faith was contagious. So the servant not only obeyed his master, but when he gets to the land of Abraham's family, he just quiets down and prays to God and says, okay, my master's trusting you. I'm trusting you. Lord, now you show me who it is. I mean, that's a huge step to relinquish because as a servant, he wants to have a successful task here, right? He wants to be able to go back and say, I did it. I did what you asked me to do. God gave me success.
I think that'd be a great place for us to close in prayer. Would you pray for us, Ava?
Sure. Heavenly Father, you are our Father and you are, oh, you're so much, Lord. You're sovereign and you're compassionate and you're faithful. And Father, even as we experience all of those attributes in our life, help us to trust that you are equally at work in the lives of those we love. And maybe they're not where we think they should be. But then, Father, I'm reminded that I'm probably not where you think I should be either. So it's about holding our loved ones loosely so that you have room to work and we get out of the way. So thank you for that reminder from Abraham's life. Thank you for showing us how he was able to love Isaac and do what he could, but then to step back and get out of the way. May we follow his example of faith over fear. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Well, to our listeners, thank you for listening. I hope this episode gave you some encouragement when it comes to your loved ones and where they're at in their life and with their relationship with God. And I hope it encourages all of us, me included, to really seek his wisdom and his guidance above everything else when we're dealing with others, especially knowing he is and always will be faithful to reveal himself to his creation. He will be faithful to draw men and women to himself into an intimate relationship with him, even those who seem really far from him right now. If you haven't done so, we encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. Then you won't miss a single episode. And be sure to share it on social media. We would be very encouraged if you would rate it as well. This helps others to find it, and it encourages our team. Until next time, may you live with the courage of one who has truly been set free.
Faith Over Fear is a production of Life Audio and Salem Media. If you liked what you heard today, please take a second to rate and review this podcast in your favorite podcast app so that more listeners like you can find the show. For more faith-filled, inspirational podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
Want to learn more about God and his will for your life one verse at a time? I'm Quenice Petway, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. I'm inviting you to tune in and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.